Takes podcast. I'm Sam. I'm joined this week by just Joe. How you doing, man?
Hello. How you doing? You're right. I'm okay. Yeah. Not too bad. Not too bad.
Nice. Nice. We're excited for this. Is essentially like we'll call this like an E3 special. E3's back, baby.
It is. Well, it.
Well,
kind of. It's all split up these days. It's all one of them still in like a week or whatever.
Do you know what? Before we get back like massively into it. The people who tried, the companies who tried, and we'll get into who that is later, it did kind of feel authentically E3. And yeah, then for everyone that just did like a Zoom call for 3 hours and then broadcasted it, that was really boring. Thanks for those guys.
It was.
So what I was going to do originally was just skip like straight into E3 stuff because instead of doing news and that, because frankly, it's all been announcements at E3 anyway. There hasn't really been any news, but there was a massive breaking news story that I think came out like maybe 3 days ago as of time of recording that you must have heard about, Joe, which is the multi-layered story of what superheroes don't do. You heard about this?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So for anyone who graciously has not been informed, so this is layer one, right? This is step one of the news story that kept on giving. One, the writers of Harley Quinn wanted to include a scene where Batman was going down on Catwoman, and DC said no. Okay, so that's already intriguing as hell in the beginning. I'm like, why would you come up with this scene? What would be the point of the scene? What the jokes would be?
What's like the context? Yeah,
exactly. Then we find out why DC say no, and they say, heroes don't do that.
Oh my god. Like, oh man, imagine being, like, the partner to that person. Like, you know what I mean? How sad must that life be?
So, the writers originally had, like a sense of humor. We're like, oh my god, does this mean that, like, superheroes are, like, inherently selfish lovers? And apparently DC were like, no, it's just that we need to sell toys with this guy, and you can't sell toys with people who do that.
Oh man, I mean, right. It's one of those things, isn't it, where, like, oh, I don't know, like, I mean, kids don't watch this version of this show.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, Sorry, go on.
Like, I was gonna say, like, if they don't make a joke about this in the show, like, say, use the phrase "heroes don't do that" to refer to something, then this is a wasted opportunity.
Of course, this story peaked. I think it would have been either yesterday or the day before, as of time of recording. Because everyone had something to say about this, Zack Snyder, I don't know if you saw this, posted on his Twitter what I can only assume is like commissioned fan art of Batman going down on Catwoman with just the caption "canon" written over it.
Oh man,
what timeline are we in where the former creative lead on the Justice League movies has to post that?
Man, I bet DC like hate the day when they hired him to make Superman, you know? Like, oh man, this guy, he's been a pain in the ass ever since.
In it.
Man.
It's all been downhill from there. Okay, so before we kick off with big E3 stuff, I did just want to ask, is there anything you've been watching, playing, reading that stood out to you that you want to have a quick chat about?
Well, I mean, not like massively, but I watched that thing, you know, that Mythic Quest. It's kind of related to E3 though, because they showed it off at the a trailer for the new series.
I remember you telling me about like the first season ages ago and recommending me to check it out, and I never got around to it. But there was never like a reason why. Nothing ever stood out as I shouldn't watch this.
It's by the guys that made Always Sunny, and I love Always Sunny anyway. But it is. It's really good. I'm like up to date on season. I think there's only one episode left of season two that's not been on yet, and like there's one episode in season one which is just insanely good. Like, it's one of the best like episodes.
It's episode five. You kept saying it's like totally,
I think it's
standalone.
Episode five. It's so good, yeah. And they do a similar thing in season two, and you'd think it's kind of like how in Far Cry everyone loved the mission in Far Cry 3, where you burn the weed fields. to Skrillex, and everyone loved it. And they tried to do it in both Far Cry 4 and 5, and it just wasn't as good. So that was my fear when I saw that they did a similar thing for season 2. But nah, it's crazy good, the episode. Like, it's the same again. It's like, it's more related because it's like the backstory for one of the characters. But oh, it's so good. And then the episode that follows that is about the character. So the flashback is the backstory set in the 70s about one of the characters, about his like beginning of the career. And then the following episode is set in like the modern day, and it follows kind of him re-meeting the people we saw in the previous episode, but like now. And they kind of go together, and it's just so good. It's so good.
I think the thing that I find like fascinating about the way you describe this show to me, and I really enjoy it, is that since you tried to get me to watch it, and you were telling me about, oh, there's the standalone episode, it's really good, you don't even need to watch the rest of the show to enjoy it, it's really good, is whenever you find a show or a movie that you find interesting that you want to chat to me about, you always like lead in and then you go, wait, shit, are you gonna watch it? And then you'll like, you know, give me spoilers. You've never asked me that question, and I enjoy that. I enjoy this like confidence of like, I refuse to even ask you to give you the chance for it to be spoiled.
Yeah,
you just gotta fucking watch this. I take that as a massive endorsement.
It's so good. It'd be really embarrassing if you watch it and you don't think it's as good as I have. I've built it up too much. But honestly, no, it is. It is really good. And the mad thing as well, the episodes, all these good episodes, they're directed by Rob McElhenney. Rob, I don't know how to say his name.
Is it Rob McElhenney? God, Rob, I can't McElhenney remember now.
Something like that. I don't know. The guy who's Mac. In it, and he's also Mac. He's Mac, and I'll say Mac. The episodes are directed by him, and it's honestly, it annoys me that he needs to direct like a big feature or something, because he's such an amazing director. It's crazy. Like I don't know whether he wrote the episodes, but he directed all those really good episodes. He directed the one in season 1, and he directed the one in season 2 as well. As few of, like, all the episodes he's directed have been really good. So he needs to do more stuff. So, and he can be in them as well. He's a good actor as well. He can be in them, but he should direct more stuff,
because I want to give it a go, because like you've done nothing but recommend it. And the only thing that's in my head that I've seen has been from not just this E3s, but like, it was like three or four years ago now, and they were both at like the Ubisoft E3. And the trailers they put together to show it off, they just weren't the best. You know what I mean?
The show's better than like the way it's thing. I think that's the problem, is because it's on Apple TV as well, it's already not as accessible to a lot of people. Because people don't... Yeah. Apple TV is not the big one, is it? The only reason I have it is because I got it free with something. It was like my phone or my iPad or something. I can't remember what it was. When I got it, you get it for like a year when you buy an Apple product, so that's the only reason I have it. But it is one of the best things on there, I think. And they just need to advertise it better, because it's so good. Maybe in America, I don't know, maybe in America they advertise it more. Over here they don't really advertise it that much. Like, not many people have
Definitely heard of it. No,
but yeah, that's good. The only other thing I've watched recently, I watched two episodes, is that, I don't know if you've seen it on Disney Plus, that MODOK TV show. It's made in like the style of...
I have not seen it yet. I've seen some clips. Adult Swim. Seems all right. Patton Oswalt. I mean, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, I got two episodes in and it was a bit like meh. I was like, I don't think I'll watch the rest. I have a mate who watched the whole thing, and he said by the end of it, he was like, yeah, I've watched the whole thing, but it kind of felt almost like he was just like, yeah, doing it because he was bored kind of thing. Like, he wasn't excited to watch the whole thing. He just finished it, and he didn't feel anything at the end. He didn't, you know, feel like, oh, no, I can't wait for season 2. He was just like,
okay, yeah, it's just finished it. Content. I think with MODOK, it's weird because there's a weird corner that's been painted with the character of MODOK, which I think is like a desire to use him because he's featured in so many comics and AIM is such a big like Avengers villain, but he's just too silly for any kind of serious media. And if you try and make him serious, it just doesn't work. So I think they've rested on, well, if we make it like a silly sitcom, at least we can use the character and market it that way. Because he's in the Avengers game. He's the main villain in the Avengers game.
Is he?
And it doesn't tremendously that, work.
Does he not know?
It's a little bit, again, it's they can't fully commit to it. So the whole thing in the Avengers game is he's like a regular scientist guy who hates Inhumans and is experimented on, and his head starts to get bigger. And the thing is, is MODOK is not a man with a big head. MODOK is a big head with little arms, and they go the first route, you know, instead of the second.
It doesn't
quite work.
So what you're telling me is what they need to do is they need to give him a normal size head, but just give him a small body, and he just needs to be tiny instead.
Yeah.
Tiny little chair. I reckon that it'd be not, it wouldn't be terrifying, but you know, it'd be weird.
It were perfect. Well, yeah, go on.
You know, like, he would be a good villain in like a Deadpool film or something, maybe.
I think Deadpool is a place that could work.
Is it AIM? Isn't there a dude? Is there a dude that he's friends with, isn't it, or something? Like Deadpool, like a kind of, I don't know if they're friends, but isn't he?
There's like he's friends with a Hydra agent. Are you thinking of that, Agent Bob?
Is a Hydra agent. Yeah, that's who I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, fair enough. I mean, it would still work. You know what I mean?
It would still work in a Deadpool. Yeah, definitely.
That's how you could introduce it, maybe.
That or a James Gunn film. I think those are the only two, you know what I mean? Yeah. You couldn't do it as an Avengers villain. It'd be ridiculous to get laughed off.
No. It'd have to be like a ridiculous Marvel version of Suicide Squad, maybe. Something that's played off basically, as like jokes, I think. Something, you know what it could be? Like a Spider-Man, Daredevil and Deadpool film kind of thing. He'd be a good villain in that one, I reckon.
It'd be a very entertaining film just by default. Like I don't know how you'd get that wrong.
Oh, yeah. I think the gimmick could be that he wants to be a huge Avengers villain, but he can't because
it's really thingy. Yeah, because
he's MODOK. Yeah, I think that'd be a really good gimmick. Like, he's trying really hard to be, actually scary and stuff, but he doesn't.
What I think could work in that, if you used all three of those characters, you could introduce MODOK as being kind of threatening through, Daredevil's POV, because he can't see him. He can just hear all the machines and the noise and the weaponry. So Daredevil's like, this crazy villain gonna destroy the city. And then Spider-Man and Deadpool finally see him and they just start dying laughter.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. You don't see him. Yeah, you don't see him at all. There's an open scene where Daredevil and you don't see him at all. And then when you finally see him, it's ridiculous looking, I like that idea. That'd be really cool. As long as they don't take the Green Lantern route, in that where... Because the Green Lantern villain's a similar, big-headed villain. But in that, they just... In the live action, they just made him some dude. His head's a bit swollen. It just looks really crap. And it's just... Yeah, as long as they don't do that. Just commit to it, you know what I mean?
Were they doing that in the old Hulk movie? That they were doing the leader, the character of the leader, and his head just swells up ever so slightly. And they've never been back to it because.
Oh yeah,
man!
I didn't even think that. Aren't they bringing him back though? The Abomination.
They're bringing Abomination back. Yeah, Tim Roth's coming back. Is it
She-Hulk?
She-Hulk. Cannot believe that movie they're keeping it as canon. It's so weird to go from Edward Norton's.
Yeah.
Bruce Banner to Mark Ruffalo's Bruce Banner, and then they'd be it's just the same character.
The General Ross is in Civil War.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's not, he's Senator Ross, isn't he? I suppose that.
Senator Ross now, yeah.
Break it a bit, I guess, but you just pretend that didn't happen. The characters are fine. Maybe they're actually doing some justice, maybe.
I don't watch it. On a rewatch, I always just skip it.
No. Because... Yeah, I don't watch it. I've not watched it in years, I don't think. I couldn't tell you what happened, to be honest. Lame. Yeah, I always forget that people are in it. Yeah.
Shall we move on to E3? Because even though I'm condensing it, we've still got a lot to cover. So, E3 kicked off early on with a special showing by Jeff Keighley, Summer Game Fest, and we had a bunch of stuff coming out from that. So we had early looks at. I've got these written down next to each other together, and I'm actually slightly going to skip ahead as well for it. I'm going to put a third game from another conference in. So there's. We have Back 4 Blood. We got actual proper viewings of Back 4 Blood.
Yeah.
The developers of Left 4 Dead making their new, essentially Left 4 Dead 3. There was a game called Anacrusis, which is Left 4 Dead but with aliens. on a sort of like
1920s
inspired. Yeah.
Oh no, kind of like 1920s inspired like aesthetic.
Yeah, yeah. The aliens were weird. They were all the same sort of model. They all didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
It did look like early in development, so things can change, but still. And later on, through the Bethesda Xbox conference, we found about Redfall, which was Left 4 Dead but with vampires. So Left 4 Dead is back in a big fucking way. I do not know why this is a new industry trend.
You know what, though? As far as things go, is if this becomes like the big new thing, so like past years it's been Battle Royale and now it's Left 4 Dead formula. I don't hate that. It's a good formula. It's better than...
Granted, I don't hate that either, yeah.
We all thought the Battle Royale formula was good before it was huge, but we didn't think it was as good as the Left 4 Dead formula is. Like, for
example...
People
still play Left 4 Dead 2, quite actively on PC.
Like, it's like... You know, normally you say something's just like, oh, it's basically just this, but different. It's normally kind of a bad thing, you know, it means it's unoriginal or whatever, but... Not necessarily when it comes to life. So that world, you know, that World War Z game, that was, you know, by all accounts, should have been such
Dead,
like a, yeah, it should have been such a throwaway game, and it feels like, but because they made it like third person Left 4 Dead, like it was identical in every possible way. Like they did it in sections. You didn't have to play the story in order. You could. It's different stories. The safe room split up the different sections. There's the basically the exact same like special zombies, lots of hordes. They just added the thing that World War Z has, you know, where it has them all piling on top of each other and stuff. So yeah, it ended up being good because it was basically just Left 4 Dead in third person. And I'm hoping, well, Back 4 Blood we know will be anyway, but Left 4 Dead, because it's obviously meant to be Left 4 Dead 3. They're not really trying to hide it, are they?
Pretty much. And it looks good too. It looks like they're modernizing it in all the right ways. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like inauthentically Left 4 Dead, but the shooting just feels like faster and, like a lot. Like, it's weird in Left 4 Dead because the guns... It does feel good to mow down all the zombies, but it's because all the zombies go down with such ease, but the guns are kind of like a little bit iffy, whereas these ones really feel like they look like they pack a punch, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And that's what we want. Even if you want to like feel the proper like... It's all about the feeling really, isn't it? Like, I think now, especially with zombie games, you've got to make a zombie game that... I don't know, it's got to... Like, where you could just make a zombie game back in the day. We're kind of past that now because everyone went mad wanting to make zombie games everything. So you gotta have something now. And I think with this, it's like better Left 4 Dead. And I think that's what it's going to be. I'm excited for it. It's going to be good.
I am excited for it too.
I love that it's called Back 4 Blood as well. It's good. It's good. Good name.
Yeah. Feels very cheeky, doesn't it?
It's got the 4 and everything, yeah. 4 and everything. So good. So good.
The other two big things to come out of Summer Game Fest were... there's going to be a director's cut of Death Stranding, which I never got around to playing the original one, but Kojima's just back to his normal fuckery. Like, the entire trailer was just Norman Reedus fucking about with a cardboard box for 10 full minutes, it felt like.
pretty much. I never played the original, no.
It's one that everyone kind of recommends with, like, a sort of bated breath. Like, people I know who have played it are like, you should play it. It is boring. They always, you know, say it like that.
That's how I think. I always recommend Mad Men to people. Like, it's good, but nothing ever happens. Like,
does it feel more acceptable, like on TV, than a game you're playing?
Yeah, true. Yeah, I mean, there must be something about it that's interesting if it's so many people liked it. But I don't know. I might play it one day.
And the last thing to come out of that conference was a full proper reveal of Elden Ring. This is the game that's from the From Software guys, Hidetaka Miyazaki, but the world design was done by George R.R. Martin, and it looks absolutely nuts. There's a dude with, like, he's entirely made out of arms. There's a little pot goblin that drags himself along with arms. And it looks like I'm someone who's played almost all of From's modern games from Dark Souls onwards. You've not really played any, right?
No, not really. No, I will probably play Dark Souls at some point. I feel like I will.
I would 100% recommend it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if I gave any advice to newcomers, I would recommend starting with Bloodborne. It's just, it's very good at teaching you what you,
yes,
how you
actually
get into
I've
it.
I've been told that. Yeah. My mate used to play Bloodborne.
Bloodborne is very Bloodborne. Fucking good.
Is that the one that's kind of like a Victorian kind of this aesthetic, but with like...
Yeah. Thingy. Very gothic. Yeah.
It looked really cool, yeah. It does look really cool.
It's very... What Bloodborne's good at, because Souls has this problem of like... Because it's so... I mean, for lack of a better word, difficult. I guess harsh, actually, is a better word. Because it's harsh on the player. You get taught very quickly, get a shield and hide behind your shield. But that's not really how they want you to play. Like, they want you to get involved with, like, parrying and dodging and stuff. A lot of players just kind of, like, slowly hide behind a shield. Whereas Bloodborne, shields are gone. You got a gun instead. Your gun parries attacks. It's, like, get the fuck involved. And they've got a great mechanic in Bloodborne where you, if you take damage, if you hit back quick enough, you can actually get that damage back. So the more dangerously you play...
Yeah.
The more likely you are to survive it. It's very good. Would recommend. Yeah. Apparently, Elden Ring is also being... They're still not putting difficulty options in, but they are trying to make these games more accessible while trying to make it feel true to them. So hopefully Elden Ring is another good start. Yeah, would recommend From Software Games. Moving on, the big stuff. Well, I say that. Supposed to be big. Ubisoft kicked us off proper. And I don't have a lot written down. So the first thing I don't fucking understand this. This is obscene to me. Rainbow Six Extraction, which is Rainbow Six, but with alien venom
zombie things. Yeah. It's really weird.
Why?
Yeah. Don't know.
Like Rainbow Six Siege is a pretty good game and I get why it's so popular. And part of the appeal is like it's really real. Bullets fly through doors and walls, and you get taken out really quickly. You got to be careful. You got to listen to footsteps and things like that. It's great.
Yeah.
So to take that IP and say there's an infectious alien goo, I don't get it, man.
No, it's really weird. Like on paper, I feel like the concept's okay, but. I don't know.
It's not Rainbow Six, is it?
No, it
shouldn't be called Rainbow Six.
No, it should be. I mean, they could. What if they wanted to make a game using, you know, like the engine, maybe, like a shooter. It plays similar, but I don't think they should have just made it Rainbow Six. With, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. It didn't.
It's definitely the IP that's playing it.
Yeah, it's really weird.
A whole bunch in the middle of the conference was just updates to games. That's going to be a common theme through all these conferences, just updates to things you already own. We got a sort of extended reveal of Far Cry 6. And I'm going to be real with you, man. Far Cry's tone is starting to have real issues with it. It's really weird to me that they keep having this focus on we're going to have these really menacing, threatening villains. And they've got this... crazy fascist dictator breaking into rooms and everyone's pointing guns at him and he still has all the control in the room and he's really scary and he's really threatening, and then one of the guns you have is it shoots vinyl records at people, and before you shoot it off it's like playing the record. I don't understand how this can be the same game. Like the gun is from Saints Row and the writing of the villain is like Breaking Bad. I don't fucking understand how this is the same thing.
It's really weird. I think so far they've managed to, I mean, I say they managed to make it work. They have. It's like they're not the best written games in the world, but you know, they're fun to play. They, you know, they figured out a thing. They're fun to, you know, it's fun to do the camps and stuff. I think if the record, like the two concepts are like the record gun, it's a cool idea, like with the record, you know, it plays it first and then shoots it. You know, it's cool. It's fun. But I think if they keep doing it, they're gonna risk maybe tipping it over, you know, one way or the other.
Definitely.
There's that backpack thing is in this one as well, where she like crouches in the backpack, the rockets shoot out like Boba Fett or something.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's
weird. Because I'm confused as well. The Far Cry, is Far Cry like a splintered universe now or not? Because isn't it canon that the apocalypse happens?
Yeah, I think it is, because that was the whole thing. He wasn't there. There's, they did. What was it? New Dawn.
The end of five. Yeah, at the end of 5, it turns out he was the father was right.
Yeah.
And New Dawn takes place in the apocalypse. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really weird. I'm thinking maybe they're just ignoring it. Because they all kind of did, didn't they? Like,
I think so too.
They all kind of was part of the thing. And I mean, they were kind of just on their own, but they were like so unseparated that you could just assume they're in the same universe.
It was conceivable that this was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas now they've kind of done it to a point where obviously they're not. Like, even with 4 and 3 and 4 and 5, you can just assume that they're in the same universe because they're all so different. And there's probably but then you'll find bobbleheads in 5 with like Vass's head on.
Vass, you know what I mean? Like, yeah,
I don't know, like, I don't know about you, but I can't go to the shop and buy like bobbleheads of like terrorists and stuff. Still, like, I mean, right. I get that it's because it's thingy, but
they did do Funko Pops of Donald Trump.
I suppose, but yeah, but
I think, do you know what, Vass in particular is really weird because if Vass exists in the universe, he still doesn't, because wasn't the whole Vass thing that he was like Tyler Durden, like he wasn't real? That was the revelation, right? That you were him all along.
Oh no, I don't think it was. There was a very thingy bit at the end.
I swear it was.
No, no. You just trip bot. No, they weren't smart enough to do that for Far Cry 3. Nah.
I could have sworn halfway through it reveals that you were him.
No, he gives you a thingy. Like, I mean, you kill him like halfway through. Like, they made a big thing about him being the big villain, and then he wasn't because you kill him halfway through.
Yeah.
And then, but the way you kill him, you have like a, I think he makes you take loads of drugs or mushrooms or something, and you kill him.
You have a weird trip, yeah.
Yeah. And I think the whole thing is that you're the two, you know, you're the two sides of the same coin kind of thing. I think that's what they would do doing.
Right.
So you do players.
And I thought they were clever than they were. Right.
Give it more credit than they deserve.
Yeah. And there's the extra revelation that all of the. Now, I don't actually understand, they've not really elaborated on this, but the DLC for Far Cry 6 is going to be what seems like the entirety of the past 3 Far Cry games where you play as the villain instead. That's nuts. Like, it can't be the full game.
I reckon what will happen is it'll be similar to what the DLC for 5 was, where it's like mini games almost, but they're not. So, like, did you play any of the DLC for 5?
No.
No.
I stopped halfway through that game. I got a bit bored of the story.
Yeah. Well, the DLC for 5, you know, right. The first one was actually really, I really enjoyed the first DLC, I'll admit. It was the Vietnam one. But the whole thing was you had to get through this valley to the other side and get to where the LZ was, but you got to, like, take over the camps. It's, like, a shrunk-down map in Vietnam. And it was, you know, it was actually good because they implemented this, like, feature in it where every time you got a kill, you went up on this bar or something and you unlocked, like, abilities. So if you were able to get, because the whole thing of it was stealth. So if you got, like, a stealth kill, you'd unlock the thing, and that meant you could, like, target people in wider areas, stuff like that. But if you got seen, you'd lose it and got to start again. It's an interesting thing. It wouldn't work on a full big game, but it worked for like a small DLC. I reckon that's what the ones are going to be. Like, you're going to play as them. Maybe they'll recreate locations from the other games. Or, like, I kind of got the feeling that the guy from Far Cry 5, his is going to be about him discovering God or whatever, and the bit where he finds out about the apocalypse through God and stuff. I reckon it's just going to be like long, because I mean Far Cry has its like drugged up sequences, doesn't it, like in all of them, the thingy sequences. I reckon it's just going to be those, but as just a big kind of mini games instead. I guess it could be stuff like that.
Makes sense.
Bad though. Well, yeah, we'll have to see
after. Yeah. After Far Cry, they did. I can't even remember. They did a lot of. Assassin's Creed's getting more content, and then Yves Chouinard showed up, and he was like, "Well, we've got one more thing. We're going to take you to a dangerous, far off planet," and everyone in the world thought it was Star Wars. and you go to a, it starts on a jungle planet, and it looks like a Star Wars jungle planet. And then you see a weird bug, and it looks like a Star Wars bug. And then you see a Na'vi from Avatar.
Oh my god, honestly. You know what? Like, when that came on screen, you could hear every single... Like, everyone, the whole thing was over online. You know, there was no one anywhere.
Yep.
They didn't even have a thing. It was all online, but you could still just hear the entire world just be like... There is not a single person who watched that and was like, oh my god, it's Avatar! No. There's no one. No one other than James Cameron is that excited about Avatar. Not a single person.
It's been what? It's been about 4 or 5 days now since that conference. And I've not seen a single defender. You know, I've not seen anyone be like, hang on a minute, guys, it might be okay.
Yeah. Like... The only, I don't even know who's, I don't even know what studio's making it, but, like, you know what I mean? You know when you see a game? Said.
No.
You know when you see a game, you just look at it, you're like, yeah, I'm never playing that. Like, even if it's amazing, I'm probably never going to play it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because it's not going to be amazing. There's no way it's going to be amazing. It's an Avatar game.
It's just an Avatar game. Yeah, oh, man. I mean, I was saying this to you the other day, like, Avatar, James Cameron's kind of, thingied a bit himself anyway. That thing he pulled with Avatar, re-releasing it in China just so it could take the highest grossing film of all time title again. You know, he's just petty. So, you know what I mean? I'm not going to go watch Avatar 2.
Yeah, it is petty.
You know, he's just petty, man. He's not going to, everyone, he just thinks everyone expects Avatar to be some huge franchise. You know, I've heard that the Disneyland one's cool. And, I will go to it, but
like, if I'm planning a trip around the Disney parks, it's not going to be high on my agenda. I know I've got to miss some stuff, I'm missing the Avatar land.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go, like, once so I can say I can go, I've been. Like, I am way more excited to go to the Star Wars one, you know what I mean? Because that's an actual something.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Whereas the Avatar one, it's
this
like,
is the thing, though. It's like, there's all these... There's all these like franchises with like, you know, these amazing far off worlds and all right, their characters are not always the most interesting, right? Their characters are not always the most interesting. You know, the original characters of Star Wars are pretty cookie cutter heroes and villains. Yeah. Harry Potter's a very standard chosen one narrative, for example.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But the world building is at least interesting enough that like people get sucked into these franchises, no matter what you think of Star Wars or Harry Potter or Star Trek or anything like this. People lose themselves in these fantasy worlds.
Yeah, yeah.
Avatar doesn't even have that.
No, there's nothing interesting, I think, about the world of Avatar as well. Like, it has flying mountains. Okay, great. It's a mountain that flies. Great. You know, this is the thing. It's interesting when you go to, like, it looks cool at the Disney parks because they've managed to make it do that in real life. But, you know, I don't care about that when I watch it on the film. And then, like...
Exactly.
They've got big blue people. They've got plants that glow. You know what I mean? All these things are things that exist. Like, these are things that exist in games. And the only reason they exist in games... is so they have a creative way of lighting up the world. Whereas James Cameron's done it in Avatar and he's like, oh, you know, look how creative I am. This world glows at night. Whoa. It's like, shut up, James Cameron. You're not the first. Oh, man. It's just...
Sometimes, if you blow it up in the right way, you can get floating mountains and worms games. So...
Minecraft. Literally, you know what I mean? Like, floating tree... There's nothing unique really about the world of Avatar. Like, it's Star Wars, at least it has the variety of different planets, you know what I mean? Like, it's just
Star Wars, Lord of the Rings. It's always interesting to investigate these worlds. There's just nothing. There are a bunch of people that worship a world tree. All right, cool. Yeah. That's basically just stolen from Norse mythology, and the connections to nature you've stolen from Native American, like, culture.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's not... you've not combined them in an interesting way. It's just
Avatar.
Okay, let's move on. After Ubisoft, we had what I consider to be a generally pretty good, pretty big conference. That was Xbox/Bethesda.
After the disappointment,
I think it's worth saying at this point. Yeah. Sorry, go on, Joe.
No, I was saying after the disappointment that was the Ubisoft one, Xbox was like, you know, it was good. I enjoyed it. I was like, I actually felt like a proper E3 conference. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the weird thing with the Xbox one was that, and in fact, all of E3's big conferences is that they were like the reveals were pretty good. You were seeing enough of most of the games. Disappointingly, there was like no major fuck ups. There was no errors. Everything was pre-recorded weeks ago, so that, yeah, there was no crashes in the games. All the things that make E3 just couldn't happen this time, which was a bit of a shame.
Sucks. It does. There was no There was no like awkward bands coming on, playing the song for a game that everyone is, you know, it looks interesting, but no one's there for it. You know.
Yeah, no one's playing the theme to Rage, and game journalists are just sat there silently.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It kicked off. Todd Howard came out and sort of showed off Starfield.
Kind of. I think they've kind of thingy, haven't they? They've got... Obviously, they've not got gameplay yet. I mean, I didn't really expect gameplay, honestly. I don't know, actually. Remember when they revealed...
Some in-engine footage. It's coming out next year.
Wasn't it? Wasn't the trailer in engine?
I'm pretty sure it was just a cinematic.
I think it is. But I think it was made, like, built in engine. So I think the graphics and stuff is what the game looks like.
Okay.
But I imagine it doesn't move the way it does. I mean, I don't know. You know what Bethesda games are like. They're really weird anyway. But they've got like a weird thing to them. But I mean, it's a weird one, isn't it? Like, it's kind of strange with Bethesda, because when they revealed Fallout 4, that was like insane, because they revealed it. They revealed gameplay.
Yeah.
It's like, by the way, we're making Fallout 4. Here's gameplay. And they were like, oh, by the way, it comes out in November. That was insane. That was like, and then, you know, they did a similar thing with Fallout 76, didn't they? But it wasn't the same. They kind of done something similar here. They didn't show off gameplay or anything. They showed off just that trailer with the West Virginia theme playing over it. They'd already done that thing, hadn't they? Like a week before, do you remember? When they had the stream going for 24 hours.
Please stand by.
And everyone was, and then it played the trailer, the reveal trailer with the West Virginia music playing over the top. Yeah. And then that was like... So I think I didn't really expect gameplay. I did expect more information about it, but I didn't expect gameplay, I don't think. I think maybe gameplay will be next year, because it comes out in November of next year, doesn't it? So I reckon next year will be the year for gameplay. I think we're going to get like a lot of gameplay.
The thing with Bethesda stuff is like... Look, I've mentioned to you privately, I'm in the middle of replaying Fallout New Vegas. What a game. It's so good.
Amazing,
so good. But the thing is Bethesda's... You know, that's a game they published. Bethesda's developed games are just, in my opinion, nowhere near as interesting. Like, you know, the way they're written, the characters you interact with, the way the quests are designed, they're nowhere near the quality of that. And all I can think about Starfield really is that I'm imagining the footage that we saw, and it's just going to be that, and then every now and again it's going to say press E to pick up a clipboard,
But you won't actually press X pick it up, though.
Press A to pick up the clipboard.
It'll just go just into your inventory. And then you'll have to open
And then you go to a planet, 4,000. And some guy says, oh, we've had some trouble with some space rats. Go and clear out the space rat cave. I'm gonna get it, because I get every Bethesda game, because I think we all have this. We all remember playing our first Bethesda game and going, holy shit, this is amazing. And then other game after that fails to live up to that experience.
Well, I mean, the thing with me, when my
in
first
some
one,
way it disappoints you.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. I think my first one was Fallout 3. So, I mean, I between Fallout 3 and New Vegas, I will admit that Fallout New Vegas is the better game. Like, it is better made. The quests are definitely better. The world is more interesting. But for me, I just prefer Fallout 3 because I've got that nostalgia. I played it so much. Like, Fallout 3 is probably one of my favourite games, like, ever. Anyway. But, you know, as a game, if, like, not being, like, you know, personally, like, not being, like, you know, objective or whatever, like, well, no, being objective? I don't know. Doesn't matter. New Vegas is the better game. So, I mean, for me, my second one was a just as good an experience. But then after that, then yeah. Like, Fallout 4 is not as good as them two. It's good, but it's not as good. Fallout 76 wasn't great at first. It's fine. It's actually all right now, but it's still not as good. It kind of feels like Fallout 4, but a bit crappier. Like, the story. Like, I know they added all the story into it when they added the NPCs. It's still very similar, though. You know what I mean? Like, the story stuff in that before the NPCs was find a note. It tells you, but it's a note about how some dude wrote a note about how he buried treasure or whatever, or buried supplies, and you gotta go find clues to find it and stuff like that. It's still just the same, but instead of reading a note, some guy tells you about it instead. It's very, very similar stuff. I mean, Skyrim, but I only ever played Skyrim, like, properly once. Like, I've played it since a few times, but only half played it, like...
My first game was Oblivion, and I fucking adored Oblivion. And that's... it's aged really badly now. Like, I'd rather play Morrowind before Oblivion, to be honest with you now. But I remember playing Oblivion for the first time, being absolutely lost in this endless fantasy world, like, adoring the lore and, like... The characters, like, they're not that interesting to me now as an adult, and I've had other RPG experiences. But when I played it when I was 14, it was like nothing else I'd ever played. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then I was like, okay, they made this game in whatever 2007, and now in 2011 we're gonna get Skyrim, and all these other games have done these amazing things. Yeah, so Skyrim's gonna be the best game ever, and then inevitably it wasn't. And I played Skyrim a bunch, but like. It is a better game in a lot of respects than Oblivion.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't make me feel the same way that I feel about Oblivion.
I think the problem with it is, well, I mean, a lot of it's nostalgia as well, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
that's the reason. Like, it was the same. I played Fallout. When did I play Fallout 3? I think I first played it like 2011, maybe. So I mean, granted, it was already a few years old by then. So. But New Vegas had only been to come out like a year before then. What was that, 2010? Maybe it was 2012 I played. I don't know. It was around then. But when they announced Fallout 4, you know, I thought it looked amazing. And, you know, it did. It was really a big step up from the other games. There was a lot of things that Fallout 4 really did improve on. So, like, the actual aesthetic of the world, they, like, really leaned into it. Like, in Fallout 3, they have the whole kind of retro... futuristic at like look anyway, but in Fallout 4 they leaned into it like hell, and they took the thing out of New Vegas. Everyone's complaint about Fallout 3 was that it was really grey and really, you know, brown and grey and dark and gloomy, which I always defend, saying it's in a post-apocalyptic game, you know what I mean, like, you know, it's not meant to be. But I will admit, Fallout 4, I'm glad that it's very colourful, you know, that it's got the thingy. Do I love the whole colourful apocalypse thing, which seems to be in so many games these days, like Rage and, you know, Far From Dawn. It's always pink as well. Why pink? What's with the pink?
Yeah, it is.
I don't know.
They're trying to go so far the other way, I think, but that's all they can find, you know. I think the thing with Fallout 3 and its like aesthetics, I get what you're coming from, is... I treat Fallout 3 as an honest-to-God attempt to just do the visuals from the first two Fallout games as an 3D FPS.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't think that fully translates into a visually appealing experience. Yeah. But I do admire, like, that's what they were going for.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's... Yeah, I think... I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I remember from Fallout 3 that I really loved, but I think if I had... The thing... I mean, I know people who... Because with a lot of the additions of Fallout 4, you got Fallout 3 anyway. It wasn't, like, remastered or anything, but it's you just got it with, like, backwards compatible so you could play it. So I know a lot of people that played Fallout 4... And then played Fallout 3, like, for the first time. And, I mean, granted, all these people are people who I was telling that they need to saying for, like, years that they need to play Fallout 3. And they're like, no. And then they're all like, oh, my God, Fallout 3 is so good. Why didn't you tell us? I was like, oh, my God, I literally told you for, like, 5 years. But, no, I think... And, yeah, and even they've said that, yeah, they think Fallout 4 is, like, a better game. In general. But, yeah, I mean, naturally, obviously, it's the newer one, so that's always going to be the case, a better gameplay and stuff.
It plays better.
Yeah, I mean, I always forget Fallout 3 doesn't have, like, looking down the sights as well. I always forget that's not a feature in Fallout 3.
Yeah, right.
It was created for Fallout New Vegas.
It's
like,
so weird.
It's mad dead, isn't it? That's one of the things. Even then, even when I was playing Fallout 3, I'll admit, yeah, that's a weird thing, a weird choice they made. That made it feel really aged, even when I played it for the first time. Like, when I played it the first time, it was only 5 years old. But I remember not being able to look down the sights and being like, oh man, this is such an old game. You can't even look down the sights. Whoa. But I was like, nah. But yeah, so I think Starfield... I mean, Starfield has the thing as well. It has the I don't know what the word is. I can't think of the word. It benefits from it being a brand new IP as well. So, like, with Fallout 4.
Yeah, definitely.
People are like, oh, my God, Fallout 4, we're waiting for so long. Da-da-da-da, you know, it's Skyrim. It's like, oh, my God, it's the next Elder Scrolls. We're waiting for so long. And then with Starfield, it's like, we have no idea what it could be, like, at all. So it kind of benefits a bit from that. But, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
and they might, because Fallout 4, one of the big problems with Fallout 4 was, like, there's no, like, it's not really an RPG. You know, like, they have the whole, like, the numbers go higher, but, like, the writing, the way you interact with the other characters and quests, it's just a lie. Like, that wheel, they might as well not have it. And if Starfield is going in the same direction... Starfield might be able to get away with it more.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it doesn't have the precedent of... Because Fallout 4 was coming after one of the best, you know, series of RPGs ever.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was important that it kind of, like, lived up to it. All right, so moving on. Something that we are very excited by. To be honest with you, where things are going, this might be live the day this episode goes live.
And we'll
Pirates of the fucking Caribbean...
Yeah,
on Sea of Thieves, baby!
Yeah, man. It's really weird, right? Because normally when they do this weird mixture of, like, brands and stuff, like you know what I mean? There's no need to mix, like, certain brands, like, all the Fortnite characters. There's no need for, like, Ripley from Alien to be in it, and the guy from God of War and all this other stuff. But you know what? I am so excited. Like, I don't even care that it's thingy. Like... This is the thing, right? Every single person who's played Sea of Thieves at some point in their lives has listened to the Pirates of the Caribbean theme while they've been doing something. Like, it's impossible to play the game without it, like, 100%. So it's such, like, a perfect... I'm so glad that they're doing it, that they've done it. Oh, man, I'm excited, you know? I'm excited.
Yeah.
It's going to be so good.
Do you know what the thing is? What this screams to me, and it kind of... I don't know that it can really feasibly happen now, but... It is so obvious to me that a game like Disney at some point should have hired a studio to just develop what is essentially Sea of Thieves in Pirates of the Caribbean universe. Like, that game is screaming out to be made.
You know what it could be, right? It should be Sea of Thieves game concept, you know, open world, going to different islands, doing your stuff, but with, like, Black Flag kind of gameplay, you know what I mean? That's what it's, and it should be Pirates of the Caribbean. That's like that right there. It's like, I don't know. It's insane that that's not already a thing. Like, they obviously want to do it. Like, they obviously want to use the IP for games and stuff. They're not afraid to use Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, they don't think that it's like a dead franchise or anything, because they're still using it. They still know that people are willing to do stuff with it. You know what I mean? So I'm kind of glad that they put Jack Sparrow in it and that they've not changed him to not make him Johnny Depp as well. It is a bit sad that it's not Johnny Depp, but I wouldn't, even if Johnny Depp, I feel like he probably still wouldn't have, even if this was, what, 10 years ago, I still think maybe Johnny Depp wouldn't have been, done the voice, or they wouldn't have been willing to pay.
Yeah, unlikely.
Like, he might have done it, but I don't think they'd be willing to pay him to do it. Like, the, all those, like, animated things they used to do.
I think... I think with this, the thing that astounds me so much, because we, you know, Burnify's on the table, we've both put a ridiculous amount of time into Sea of Thieves. Yes. It is, yeah, we're gonna come back for this.
An insane amount of time.
if it's good, which I really hope it is, we're probably gonna put even more insane amount of time into it.
Yeah.
It's a fun game. What baffles me is that what does baffle me? Fuck! Where was I going with that point?
It was one thing I'll say is it was a massive shock. That's where I was going.
Yeah. I got my thought back. The fact that we've played for so long and we've followed these updates and what they're doing and we've watched the developer videos and we had no idea that this was on the table at all.
Yeah, no. Like,
there
this was
no, they didn't throw out like a mission to, for players to do that was like a test. Oh, how could this kind of thing work? Nothing.
No. It's kind of like, I knew going to the Xbox One that there was going to be something Sea of Thieves. I assumed it was going to be something to do with like the Pirate Emporium. You know, oh, look what you can spend your actual money on. Stuff like that. If you had told me, like, when we were proper, like, playing it, like, every day, like, what, a few months ago, if you had told me then that they would do a Pirates of the Caribbean, like, free DLC, I would have been like, no, they wouldn't. There's no way they would do that. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't be able to implement it. It'd be really stupid. Oh, but you know what? I didn't even, as soon as it came on, my first, like, my natural reaction was just to be like, oh my God, this is going to suck. But you know what? As soon as I actually started watching the trailer, I was like, nah, I'm excited. It's going to be good.
Yeah, man.
I'm well excited for it. I mean, I love Pirates of the Caribbean anyway, so.
When it started, when we saw Jack Sparrow, I laughed, and then I was like, okay, he's just going to be like a quest vendor for a month or something, and then away. And the fact that there's new zones and new enemies and the Dutchman's in it, like.
Yeah. It looks. My only fear is that it's something similar to what like Minecraft story mode was or something, or like Minecraft dungeons were.
No.
It's like just a story and that's it. You know what I mean? Like, you do something in the world and then you go into like a portal or something. That portal you see in the thing is just in it for like the final cause similar to like kind of what the story is in it, like that whole, they do that big thing, don't they, about the Shroud Breaker and stuff, and then you get, there's like an island you can go to, but then that's it, you can't just travel to the island whenever after that, you have to do it in the mission. I really hope that it's not like that.
Yeah.
I want you to go through a portal and it almost unlock, like, I'm not expecting a whole new map, I mean, that would be nice, but I wouldn't expect like a whole new map.
No, but they can I would like expect like a new players between people who have played the content and people who haven't. You know?
Yeah.
And naturally, after playing it, you always go in.
Like, I think the fact that it's a free DLC and not one that you have to buy means that, like, they're not going to limit it. You know what I mean? They don't have to worry about the people who didn't buy it, you know, and what to do with them.
Yeah.
Like, I hope that you go through that portal thing that's in the trailer and maybe you find, like, a mini map or something, like a mini world, and it's got some of the locations from Pirates of the Caribbean in. You know what I mean? So you've got your Port Royal, you've got Tortuga, you've got other islands, You can have, I can't remember any other places. You've got, I mean, there's not a lot of standout locations in Pirates of the Caribbean, really. Is the island with the island where the dead man's chest is buried, you know, with the beach, and then you've got the thing with the tout with the church with the big wheel on it. Yeah, maybe stuff like that. I mean, there's some kind of in that second trailer they released the other day. It looked like there's going to be a mixture of like Sea of Thieves characters into it. So there was that woman who like controls the Kraken or something, but like it's the Sea of Thieves Kraken, the one with like the weird hand things at the end of his tentacles. I think that's cool. I like that they've finally given him a face as well. Well, whether if you get attacked by him in the ocean, you're going to actually see his face, I don't know. but still, it would be cool if you did.
They do know, apparently Rare do know that is something people want. Like, if I remember reading ages ago when we were trying to find out how Kraken spawned and stuff in the game, like on the wiki, there's a little trivia note that says, yeah, Rare are well aware that we all want four Kraken models.
So you can see it when you jump into the water.
Yeah, so it's not just infinite darkness and you're dying and you don't know if you're going up or down.
Like, I like the fact that the water gets darker when he's attacking, because it's the whole idea. But I always thought the whole idea of that is that he's huge and it's the shadow of him below the ship. I thought that's why it got darker. It's because it's meant to be him coming up under, and that's why it kind of suddenly gets really dark, because this massive thing underneath you. So I hope they keep that, but change it so it works with the thingy.
Yeah.
Like, you can kind of see it. Like, imagine how much more terrifying it would be as if it started right below your ship. Instead of it just being a big dark mass, it was like a bunch of like lines going out like that, and then the tentacles would go. It'd be so much scarier.
Yeah, man,
that'd be terrifying.
And then what you can make out like underneath is just like rows and rows of teeth. Like, that's all you can see. Yeah. It's just man.
Oh god, that'd be horrible. Oh my god, so, scary stuff.
Moving away from Sea of Thieves and on to, they did a sort of big reveal for Halo Infinite. They didn't show off. Look, all I'm saying is they're not, for the campaign, they're not giving me the impression that they're confident in it. Like, after all the mockery they received from last year, it does not feel like they want to show us a lot of this.
No, they're kind player. Of afraid, I think.
Did do a big multiplayer reveal. So multiplayer is going to be entirely free to play. I'm gonna put a quotation mark on that.
Yeah, so, that'd be cool.
So, well, it's weird, right? So it's a free to play segment, which makes me worried for how they're going to monetize it. But also, the game is on Game Pass right now. Going to be a PC player anyway, so I can get access to it, the free to play thing via Steam probably, and it will that will be free to play. But for everyone on a console, which I'm going to say is probably the majority of the Halo player base on the Xbox, if they've got Xbox Live Gold, they've got Game Pass.
so the multiplayer was
always free.
Like, I was going to say, like, I was like, oh my god, that's good. But I instantly remembered, like, oh wait, I have Game Pass. All of the Halo games are on there. So it's technically it's all free anyway.
Yeah, and like, this one's on there.
I pay £10 a month for them to play them whenever I want, if I wanted to. So, I mean, okay, if it's free, fair enough. It'll be free for me anyway. Play it if I want to. Probably won't.
They're bringing back... This is the thing. It's like, I'm going to give it a go. They're bringing back old Halo 3 maps. They're doing like they're doing an interesting sort of physics-based combat, which I'm interested in. Like, I kind of like the grapple gun. There's a bit in the trailer where a guy shoots like a rocket launcher at an energy sword, and it bounces the energy sword up into the air, and he catches it and then stabs a guy. That's rad. Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I just worry that everything's going to be tied into like some sort of story. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You know what they might do with the thingy? They might, if it's going to be free to play for people without the Game Pass, which, if you've got an Xbox and you've got online and you don't have the Game Pass, that's insane. Get the Game Pass. It's incredibly worth it, especially all the new stuff that's coming out. Like, you're a fool if you don't
ridiculously
have it.
Good unless value.
You have a legitimate reason to not have it. If you just don't think it's worth it, then you're wrong. What they might do is, they might split it, you know what I mean? So they might just have Halo Infinite is, you know, one big game, but they might do what they've done with, like, Red Dead Online, where you can buy the game, you can buy Halo Infinite, but you can just play, you can just download, like, the multiplayer on its own. You don't have to install the story and stuff. And I think that's what they might do. And I might do that. I might play the thing. I might, because I didn't play, I mean, I played Halo 4 years ago when it first came out. Didn't play 5, and I doubt, I'm not that bothered about the story for 6, but I might give the multiplayer a go, because I remember I got the Master Chief Collection with my Xbox, and yeah, I used to play the multiplayer, like, all the time on that. It's good. Halo multiplayer. Halo 3. Ooh.
Yeah. Good stuff. It is good. It is fucking rad, Halo 3 multiplayer. Yeah, I think that one of the things with this game that kind of also scares me is, like, they said in it, because going off what you said about how, like, they might just be splitting up, so you can download just the multiplayer if you want, just the campaign. I think you're right. I think that is what they're going to do. But they said in the reveal that, like, so we're happy to announce that the multiplayer will be live the same day as the single player. And I was taken aback by that, because I was like, fucking, what did you just say? Like, of course it's going to be live the same day as the... That's how games work. You release a product and all the modes are on it. And that makes me think that between now and November, they're going to announce multiplayer's not ready. It's not ready. It's not coming out on time.
That would be insane.
I can feel, like, it in my bones.
Yeah. If they feel the need to announce that they're all going to come out together, maybe not. Maybe not. I don't know.
So we'll go through some other stuff. I think there's going to be some things that I will cut, because I don't know how much there is to say about them, but I want to hear about, because I don't know anything about this, but when it got announced, you said to us in our little chat that you've been following it for a while. Joe, tell me about Atomic Heart. What is that?
So Atomic Heart, I'm really surprised actually that you guys didn't know about it. Like, Atomic Heart is, I mean, I don't know, like, all the information about it, but I have been, like, following it for, like, a while. I think they announced it, God, it was years ago now, I think. I think I was in, like, college or something when they announced it. It's essentially, from what I've seen, like, the trailer that was on at E3 didn't make it look the best. There are much better. I recommend watching.
I was intrigued, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, no, like, if that trailer did intrigue you, the other ones they released definitely will. And they've released, like, gameplay for it as well. It's essentially, like, BioShock set in, like, an abandoned... I mean, I assume it's abandoned. Like, it's basically, like, BioShock set in, like, a Soviet research center or something. And, you know, there's all this weird stuff. There's, like... It just looks crazy. Like, there's, like, crazy robots and, like, all kinds of weird technology and stuff. And that's, like, the whole gimmick is that it's, like, a BioShock-esque game set in this really strange, like, test facility or something, or some abandoned, but I don't know. But it's got that kind of, like, Soviet 1960s, 70s, like, aesthetic, you know, with all, like, the murals on the walls and just... that cool, like, look to it. And I think, yeah, I'm really excited for it. I'm sure when I first saw it, back when they first announced it or something, that it was only going to be PC. It was going to be, like, PC only. So I'm really glad that it's going to be on Xbox now as well. And I think is it day one release? Is it being put on Game Pass, like, day one as well? I think it is, isn't it? Isn't that one of the games?
I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
They revealed what, like, 30 games, 27 of them or something are on Game Pass day one.
I feel like the only ones that aren't will be Far Cry 6. That was in the actual gameplay. That would be one of them. I don't know what the others two were, but I mean, if Atomic Heart wasn't one of them, and it's not on Game Pass, I'll probably still end up buying it anyway because I am, like, really excited for it. It does look really good, and it's just one of those games that I've been seeing bits and pieces of it for years, and they just, eventually it's getting, I was always like, oh, it'll get a release eventually, like, I wasn't, like absolutely buzzing, you know, kind of like excited, like following when it's going to be released. Like I knew it was coming out, and I was, whenever anytime anything came up about it, I would watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
Thingy, but because it looked cool. But I'm glad, you know, I'm glad that it's finally coming out and that it's going to be on the Game Pass and stuff. But yeah, it's definitely worth like looking more into, like looking at the other stuff. They've released like so much for it, like loads of trailers. There's actual gameplay for it out as well, and it just looks cool. It just looks cool. It just looks really good. But yeah,
rad,
yeah.
Rad. And I think the last thing we'll mention from the Bethesda Xbox One is, and we can't say much about it because they made a point of saying there was nothing to show for it, is The Outer Worlds 2 got announced. Speaking about Obsidian before, because of Fallout New Vegas, Outer Worlds is a great game that I've still not finished. I've reinstalled it because I've been enjoying New Vegas, because I want, I finish New Vegas, I'm just going to straight away start playing that again. But it definitely felt like The Outer Worlds fell a little bit victim to, I guess, the realities of game development. Like, there was clearly some like corners cut here and there. With now that they're like a Microsoft owned studio, I'm hoping that The Outer Worlds 2 can like fully basically realize what they started with the first game, because it's very
good. The thing that's mad about the first game is, and I really hope they do it, I think the first game, what they might do is it might be a lot of the same location. Well, not a lot same locations, but a lot of the same planets, because I imagine it'll be set in the same solar system, so you're gonna have all, because something I didn't realize until way later, like I was like getting to the end of The Outer Worlds and realized there's a bunch of planets that I hadn't unlocked, hadn't been to, and I was like, oh, I don't understand. You know, I'm at the end of the game, how have I not unlocked? And it turns out that some of these planets, they're not even in the game, like they're there on the map and you don't ever go to them, and it's kind of like they'll be in The Outer Worlds too. So I'm thinking maybe what might happen is I will still be bigger. It'll be on next gen, so it'll be, you know, you'll have more kind of freedom with it as well. And I'm hoping you do go to all these planets now. You go to all the planets that you didn't go to before. You go back to other planets, but you go to like new locations and you look cool. And I kind of do want you to go back to some of the locations. So like in Outer Worlds 2, what's it called? They call it the Citadel or something, or like, you know, the one where the corporation is, that big city, and it's all circular and
It's
the big city. Yeah, I hope back there, but like it's bigger, you know what I mean? Like you can explore, it's not just a small little section of it. Maybe you can go to like bigger, more areas, you know, there's more like alleyways and streets and stuff. I think that would be like a really cool, it's just I'd want The Outer Worlds 2, to like you said, to be what the first one wanted to be if they had the money to do it. And the second one, now they're a big Microsoft studio, they can make it like an actual full game. Like any ideas they might have had, they can just expand like the hell out of it. I think it'd be really good. I am excited for it though, because it's got such a, like a cool, unique, it's got this weird kind of space like frontier vibe, and I really like it with like all the cowboy-esque costumes and stuff, and all the stuff kind of looking
really,
like it's like
really
the 1800s.
You feel like a proper like rebel and a proper outlaw because of like you know, because of the way that every like when every single planet you go to, there is another authority, there's another corporation that's standing in your way. So no matter what good you try and do, you're always a bad person to someone.
Cool. I do. It is a really cool. It's crazy. Like the thing, you like my big fear with when Microsoft and like especially Obsidian became like part of Microsoft, I had a bit of a fear that since Bethesda wouldn't let Obsidian make, you know, New Vegas 2, I was a bit afraid that, you know, they've gone off and they've made all these other games. So they made The Outer Worlds, and they're like, haha, look at us, we've made this game and we've beat you to the punch. You know, it's a space game, we've made it. You know, everyone loves it, it's really good. And then they announced that one last year. Do you remember the one that's, was it last year or the year before? It's like basically Elder Scrolls, but the version of Elder Scrolls.
One.
And they're like, haha, look at us, we don't need you, we've got our good games, we've got our versions of your games. But like, my fear when Microsoft bought them was Microsoft were going to turn around and be like, well, you can make New Vegas 2 if you want to now that we're in charge. And then my fear was they were going to be like, oh yeah, okay, yes please, yes please, I want to make those. I hope they won't revert straight back to it. That was my fear. I don't know whether they're going to do that. Maybe. But if they do, I think it'd be like, I hope they're like, kind of like, you know what? Yeah, we will do that for you. We'll do that for you. We've given you Outer Worlds 2. We'll give you some New Vegas 2 as well. I hope that that's the approach. Because they made that other one, didn't they? That Grounded. I've not played it. I've downloaded it. I've not played it yet. But
yeah, yeah.
Looks all right, though, yeah. Looks all right, yeah.
Very different game.
Yeah. Oh, 100%, yeah.
I think the thing with Obsidian, because this is the vibe I'm getting for like from replaying New Vegas, is like Bethesda acquired the Fallout IP and were like clearly excited to make like a Fallout game, and they were like, oh, we're gonna have everything that was in Fallout, we're gonna have vaults, and we're gonna have caps, and we're gonna have Deathclaw, you know, and when Obsidian made New Vegas. And most of the talent was people that worked at Interplay and Dark Moon. I can't remember the studio name. Black Isle.
Black Isle. Yeah, that was made,
The original Fallout. And it was like, okay, we're making another Fallout, and we're going to push things forward. So, okay, we've still got to use caps because they brought caps back, but we're going to bring NCR money back. But also the NCR, they've been around for ages. And everyone's going to fucking hate them now. And the Brotherhood of Steel, isn't it fucking weird that the Brotherhood of Steel are still doing the same old shit hundreds of years later? Fuck the Brotherhood of Steel. Fuck them up.
Yeah, yeah.
Kill them all if you want. Who cares? Fucking go fucking scorched earth on the Brotherhood of Steel. Yeah. Do it. Own them all. Like, it felt like pushing them forward. So if they were offered a New Vegas 2, or you know, just the opportunity to make another Fallout game again. I would be excited to see it, because I don't think they would be like, oh, yay, goody, we get to make another Fallout. It's how can we reinvent Fallout again? You know, can we really keep pushing it forward?
Actually, restore the name that it had after Fallout 4 and the one that's been tarnished by 76. Yeah. Just, you know, real number one. Don't, you know, just pretend Fallout 76 doesn't exist. You know, it's been set in the... you know, the timeline with the rest of them, it's 200 years and stuff. That's what you can do. It's fine. Don't even worry about it. I think as long as they stay on the West Coast with it, they can kind of just go mad. There's some really good locations they can use at the West Coast as well. I know there was a talk for a while about them doing like New Orleans, though. Do you remember that? Those like rumors that people, you know, people from the teams were going out to scout New Orleans locations and stuff. And everyone thought that's what the next Fallout game was going to be. Maybe that's what they were going to do. And maybe they might do that. That'd be an all right. I wouldn't mind that. That'd be an interesting location. New Orleans.
Swamps and that.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool. Big alligator deathclaw things would be cool. You know, stuff like that. It'd be pretty, pretty cool. New Orleans. Oh, yeah, man.
So... moving away from the Xbox One, immediately afterwards, Square Enix had a conference and decided to front load the entire like 30 minutes with their brand new Guardians of the Galaxy game, which has been long rumored. Finally got to see some of this, and I personally really dug it. I thought it was rad.
I mean, I like the trailer. I don't know. I mean, because I never played the Avengers one anyway. Like, I remember you said the actual story of the Avengers wasn't that bad. It was actually all right. But, I mean, I don't know. Is it set in the same, like, universe, this one? Do you know? Is it just
We don't really know. Yeah.
I mean, I think probably assume that it is. Because it's, you know, it's the same. I don't know if it's the same developers. Looks similar.
No, it's a different development team. I think they're working in the same engine, though.
Yeah. Square Enix.
It's weird. Essentially, still publishing it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think what I read from it was that, because this thing about Avengers was that, I was baffled when I finally played it, because it's always on sale. At one point, I just caved in. I just went, go on. is it's not as absolutely awful as I thought it was going to be. And the missions, what it feels like, what Avengers feels like to me, is a game that started as a single player game that at some point towards the end of development was turned into a live service. That's what it feels like. Because there's some missions which are only single player. You can't have a mate come in and do co-op. They're very heavily scripted and they're very entertaining. The enemies aren't like... You don't get bored of the like lack of enemy types because you're getting fed them in ways that it's like actually interesting to the combat encounters. There's a great mission where like Iron Man, like Tony Stark has to run around his mansion as it's getting blown up and assemble some improvised Iron Man gear out of just bits and bobs that he finds.
It's
fucking rad. It's really cool. And Guardians to me looks like a full game of that kind of stuff where the combat looks decently fun. I actually really like that you can only play as Star-Lord, to be honest with you. I like that you're making decisions and it's multiple choice and it looks like those choices have like pretty serious consequences for how the missions play out. I think that's cool. And I really like the combat inclusion of when he puts on his headphones and it plays some rad 80s music and he gets fucking powered up by it. That's awesome.
I mean, I've not... Have they released, like, is it, like, did they do, like, full gameplay and stuff? Because I didn't watch the Square Enix one. I've seen the trailer.
Yeah.
Did they so do full gameplay
half
for it,
an hour. A full half an hour of just full gameplay for this fucking game. Yeah, tons they
I'll have to watch it. I've not actually seen the game, but I didn't know there was a game, but I thought I knew there was the trailer. But I'll have to watch the gameplay for it as well. Is it... So is it not, like, co-op then? No, is it not? I thought that it would be, like, because it'd be being Guardians.
It's just single player.
I mean, okay. I mean... If the thingy then, if they, like, know that people liked Avengers for the single player, then I like that they've kind of gone to, with this one, that this is a game that they could really easily force multiplayer in, and it is kind of nice that they haven't done that. It would be, it would be really easy for them to be like, no, make it multiplayer. But they'd be like, no, single player, that's what people want. It's, So I don't know. I mean, if I'm going to watch the gameplay, but as a concept, I feel like I'm more inclined to play this one than I was the Avengers game. Because I remember watching the Avengers gameplay.
It honestly reminds me more of, I mean, it's not as good as, but it reminds me more of Spider-Man. You know, like the way I felt seeing like gameplay from Spider-Man, I was like, okay, it feels like you understand these characters.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. When I watched the gameplay for Avengers, I was just like, it looked fine. It looked just only okay. So I'll have to watch the gameplay for get the Guardians one, but I didn't, that's mad that it's not multiplayer. I thought that'd be like the one, because that Suicide Squad game they announced, that's going to be multiplayer. That's a very similar kind of game. But... I don't know. Mad, didn't it? That two of the movies James Gunn's like made popular. Getting the games, yeah.
It wouldn't shock me at this point after the really poor performance of the Avengers if over at Warner Brothers they're rethinking that Suicide Squad game, to be honest with you.
Maybe, I
think it was a big acceptance that this thing was just going to be the next big thing in games we can ride out and... I don't think it's gonna be. Square after that was just like a big run of like they had a big segment about Life is Strange, if you've ever played those games. They're kind of rad.
Actually, no. Yeah, I've heard they're good, yeah.
I describe them frequently as like they're like a CW series, but if they were tolerable. It's the same kind of like vibes and themes, you know, teen rebellion and things like this, but like the writing's not unbearable and the characters are enjoyable, so
fair enough,
you know, it's easy to get into. It's a bunch of things about the remastering the original one and they're doing a sequel, and a really embarrassing that they ended it with this like Final Fantasy spin-off, which is like a prequel to the original game, but it's like really trying hard to be edgy. And do you remember in video games when every single protagonist was like a bold, boring white man? That's what the Final Fantasy protagonist is now, is a bold, boring white man, and I don't know what's going on. So we'll move on to the very last conference of the show, which was Nintendo, which a lot of people were like angry about before it even started, because everyone had decided from the get that they weren't going to get what they wanted out of it.
Yeah.
You know, but the two big standouts were, we did see Breath of the Wild 2 footage that's coming out supposedly next year. Yeah. I'm excited for it. I think Breath of the Wild is a very good game, but for me personally, and I am saying this with the risk of getting shot by Nintendo fans, I don't think it quite hit the mark. It's like, it's frustratingly great. Like, it's so obvious to me what they should have changed to make it work, that I'm excited for the sequel because I think they can nail it.
Yeah.
And they also announced Metroid Dread, a brand new Metroid game that's going back to its sort of 2D roots. And I've been playing... I've acquired a copy of Super Metroid for the SNES that I am definitely playing on a real Nintendo console. And it's very good. It's very good. So if it's anything like the old school Metroid games, that's going to be rad. But to be honest with you, Nintendo is just, I don't know, Kazuya from Tekken and Smash Brothers. It's weird. I own a Switch, but like... I don't know.
Yeah,
same. I just feel like I dodge out on a lot of the Nintendo stuff because I know a lot of it's going to be like, look at this Mario Tennis game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't say I'm super excited about that.
No. I mean, I don't watch. I know people love Nintendo and stuff, but I don't. I'm not that bothered about it. Like, yeah, I mean, I do actually own Breath of the Wild, and I'm going to play it one day. I just haven't got around to it yet. I will play it one day. I will play it one day. I know that I will.
It is good. It is a good game.
Yeah. I mean, what if I have played a bit of it, and what I played was like good. I did enjoy it. It's one of those things, because it's the Switch. I'm not massively big on the Switch. I prefer like my Xbox and my PlayStation. But yeah, no, I know I will play it. I know I will play it one day. But I don't know. I'm not. Not a big Nintendo guy, but I don't know, you know.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Feels weird. Feels dangerous to say that because the fans seem so rabid online.
Oh, I know. Yeah, but yeah. People hate you for not liking Nintendo.
I know what you mean. Like literally, if all their big Zelda and Mario games aren't instant 10 out of 10s in your heads before you've played them, lynched.
Exactly. They'll get you. Come in.
Get out of here.
You sleep. Come in through your window.
So yeah, that was everything that I thought would have been interesting to bring up.
Yeah, yeah.
There's many, many other reveals from E3. How about you let us know what you found interesting in the comments down below? Oh, yeah, there's some engagement. Joe, what did you think overall of E3 2021? Is it nice?
Yeah, I mean, it is nice to actually have it, other than like last year where it was just a bit, you know, bits and pieces throughout the year. It's nice to kind of have it all in one go, because then you kind of feel, that's like the thing, isn't it, with it, like you feel it kind of all at once, you get kind of into the mood, you know, it's like, oh, it's E3 time, whoa, all these games. It still feels a bit like it's half back, because it's not the big you know, you get like, you know, there's something about watching them on the stage with the possibility of someone like something going wrong, that's the full experience, I think. And you know, Xbox has kind of had that, because they still had the stage and stuff, but obviously, yeah, it was all pre-recorded and, you know, nothing could go wrong really. But you know, I enjoyed it. One thing I will admit as well, I mean, this whole like next gen, I was always like, I'll get a PS5, get a PS5. The Xbox conference has kind of swayed me a bit, you know. I'm thinking maybe I'm getting an Xbox before I'm getting a PS5. I feel like by the time the next gen starts, like PS6 and all them, I probably will end up having both of them at some point, like I did with the thingy. Like, I own an Xbox and a PS4, and it wouldn't surprise me that if in my life I own an Xbox and a PS5.
Yeah.
But I was always going to get a PS5 first. I don't know anymore. I'm thinking maybe getting an Xbox first. What, Xbox really won me over with the
it's kind of worth it's worth noting, obviously, that like Sony had zero presence at E3.
Yeah, yeah.
Really. So like, if they had a full conference, we might not be having this conversation. But I also think it's worth saying that we mentioned it earlier. Like, when I look at both consoles as like a value proposition, at the moment, Xbox has Game Pass and PlayStation doesn't.
The thing,
and,
I mean...
And it's such a nuts... Like, to buy a console and you don't have to buy any other games for it and you just pay the online fee and you've instantly got access to, like, hundreds of actual quality games.
Yeah.
And I could on the day one, I could download, like, all the fucking Yakuza games. They're all on there.
Yeah.
And just start playing. And all I've paid for is my online subscription fee.
Yeah, yeah.
That's nuts.
It's honestly, like, the fact that you literally, like we said it before, 27 out of the 30 games that they announced are all going to be on the Game Pass. That's insane. Like, mm-hmm. PlayStation have their version of it, don't they? It's called, like, what's it called? Like, PlayStation Now or something
PS
like that.
Now.
I don't know. PS Now, yeah. It's just it's not as good. They have all the stuff that's on PS Now, other than the exclusives, I'm pretty sure is on Game Pass as well. And there's just so much more. Now, as well, Xbox announcing all these original stuff. That making Starfield an Xbox exclusive was a ballsy move. But they did it anyway. And it's... Oh man, it's worked. Yep. I'm proper thinking about getting an Xbox
and
now.
And that's going to be on Game Pass?
Yeah, that's going to be on Game Pass. All these games that they're announcing... Like, the fact that... The thing is, right? The thing with all these games... Like, in the past few years when you watch E3... They announce all these games, you're like, oh, that looks good, but, you know, I don't know if I want to play it because, you know, there's no point me buying it. With Game Pass, it does. You don't have that. You can just see a game, like, you know what, that looks all right. I'll play it when it comes out because you can. It's free. You just download it. Oh, man, that's such a good thing. It's like you feel like playing a game. You don't have to worry about whether or not, you know, you can afford to buy it. Just download it. It's so good. Game Pass is like... It's crazy. So yeah, it's proper making me want to, I'm thinking maybe I'm going to get an Xbox, you know, because since I've got Game Pass, I play on my Xbox way more than I play on my PlayStation. Yeah. It's really strange. Oh man, I love Xbox. But, you know, it's mad. I'm reverting back. I went to PlayStation for a while, but I'm reverting back.
To like think back to when this generation started. And how both parties fucked up, both PlayStation and Xbox fucked up their launches,
then
PlayStation got the ball running, like after Bloodborne, and have just been nailing it every single time. And the Xbox One is a joke, a literal joke for the entire generation, and yet you've ended it playing on your Xbox One all the time because of the Game Pass.
It's insane.
Years ago, we never would have thought about that, but like... Genuinely, they've nailed it. And then it's got like EA. I don't want to sound like a fucking marketer, but I am astounded.
Yeah,
like it's got all the fucking exclusives on it. It's got EA's fucking games are on it because the EA Play, you get that when you've got Game Pass. Like, it's
insane. It's crazy worth the money. Like 100%. Like, if it's to go off, like if. This is kind of you use this to base who's gonna win, like, because I mean, you always get the winners and losers in the next gen. I feel like Xbox won 360 over PS3, sure. PS4 definitely won last gen with all their exclusives. And I feel like if you go based on how it's going so far, it feels like Xbox is gonna win again because my Game Pass is just like you just get the feeling that when released Game Pass the first time, Sony was like, nah, it's not gonna be worth it. It's not going to be, you know, it's going to blow up in the face. Nah, it's like a major selling point. I remember them introducing it and was thinking, them marketing it loads. But now they've actually got some like really amazing, it's crazy how much value, it's really good. And they're adding new stuff to like all the time.
It still feels like it could blow up in the face because I don't know how they're planning to keep on making, you know, the money they used to make by putting proper system selling games on it from day one. But you don't make that decision as a company without knowing it's going to work out for you. You know, buy Bethesda and make all of their games exclusives, but then put them on the Game Pass anyway, like, because that's going to be a bad business move. It seems really pro-consumer and Sony need to follow suit, and it needs to be the same value as Game Pass as well, because the great thing about Game Pass is that obviously your online subscription and your Game Pass are one and the same. Whereas right now, if you want to use PS Now, which is not as good a service, you have to pay for it on top of your PS Plus.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to ditch that.
And I'm pretty
PS Plus just needs to have the works.
Isn't PS Plus like 11 quid a month? No, it's not. No, I think it's like 6, actually, if you pay for it monthly. But still, it's like 11 for the Game Pass and the online. Like, I'd much rather pay that extra fiver because you get so much more out of it. And I think, yeah, PlayStation really need to up the game, I think. Or up the games. Plural. Yeah. So,
Yeah, man. All right, cool. So thank you very much for watching our little E3 special. I hope you enjoyed it. If you've been watching us on YouTube, yeah, let us know in the comments down below what was your biggest favorite reveal from E3, whether or not we talked about it or not. Hit like, hit subscribe, and consider sharing us with your friends. And if you've been listening to us via the podcast app, I don't know. I don't know what you can do. Thanks, I guess. You probably hit follow. There's probably a follow button there somewhere to get the latest on the feed. It's good, this, isn't it? Yeah. You can follow us on social media by searching for The Real Outtakes on Twitter and Instagram. You can tell it's been a fucking while since I've done this end, but just going to roll with it, man. I'm just going to roll with it. And what else can you do? You can make Outtakes merch and wear it to your workplace. you're free to do anything. Oh, this is good. All right, thanks a lot, Joe. It's a good episode. Thanks very much for watching. Catch you around.